This is a story I heard about. A girl went to college. She just hated it. But she told herself, if I ever get out of college and get married and have children, then I'll be able to enjoy my life. So she stuck with it. She went to classes every day and finally graduated from college. Then she got married and had children and discovered that children are a lot of work. So she told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, then I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. But about the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, guess what? We don't have enough money to send our kids to college. I guess you'll have to get a job. Well, she didn't want to, but she knew he was right. They needed the money, so she went to work, and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get these kids out of college, get all the bills paid, then I can quit work and really enjoy life. Finally, the last child graduated from college. All the bills were paid. He walked into her employer's office and said, I quit. He said, I don't think you're going to quit now. If you stay with us just for another 8 years, you'll have a pension for the rest of your life. She thought, well, I really don't want to work another 8 years, but there's all that money there, and I really can't turn down the opportunity. So she worked for another 8 years. Finally, she and her husband retired at the same time. They sold their home and bought a little retirement cottage. Then they sat down in the swing on their porch, and they looked at the family picture album, and they dreamed about the good old days. Someone said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Our point is that it's easy to get stuck in a rut, go another year coasting on autopilot, expecting the same old, same old, same problems, same struggles, same income, same job, same level of joy. Our purpose today is to speak some faith into you, to ignite something on the inside, to expect more, to expect increase in our own personal lives. To expect that 2017 is not just going to be another year, it's going to be an exceptional year. It's going to be a year of surprises where Krishna amazes you with his goodness. A year where you accomplish your dreams, overcome obstacles, see breakthroughs in areas that you've struggled before. You're going to see God-centered change in 2017. Lord, we're going to pray, help us to use the 8,760 hours of this year in the wisest way that we can, keeping you in the center and honoring and glorifying you. I want enough happiness to keep me sweet, at the same time, enough trials to keep me strong. I want enough sorrow to keep me human and enough hope to keep me happy. Enough failure to keep me humble, enough success to keep me eager, enough friends to give me comfort, enough wealth to meet our needs, enough enthusiasm to look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Get ready. Krishna is about to release his favor in 2017 in a greater way. You've sowed the seeds. Now get ready for the harvest. Expect Krishna's favor. Let go of little dreams, little plans. Why? Because 2017 is going to be an above and beyond year. Some of you have seen difficulties, but those winds which have been holding you back, they've shifted. The direction has changed. Instead of blowing against you and holding you back, in 2017, those winds are going to do a 180 and blow for you. Instead of holding you back, those winds are going to propel you forward. We're speaking victory into your future. These are not just idle words to make you feel good. They're words which are full of life, full of healing, full of restoration, full of power from the Almighty Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. When you hear them, something ignites on the inside. Prabhupada started this movement in 1966. This is the 50th anniversary of the Hare Krishna movement in America. Prabhupada was on the Lower East Side. He used to chant in Tompkins Square Park periodically. Coming to that chanting, attracted to it, were some hippies, some musicians, some bohemians. It was the counterculture of America. Turn on, tune in, drop out, the summer of free love. Many of these early disciples of Prabhupada were challenged to tie their own shoes. That's how bad it was. Prabhupada took a globe and he's spinning the globe. And Prabhupada's saying, he, Brahmananda, will go to Africa. Sudama, he'll go to Japan. Bhagavan will go to Europe. Ridayananda to South America. They couldn't tie their shoes, but Prabhupada didn't see their current challenges. What he saw were the seeds of greatness on the inside, that they're made in the image of God. And nothing's impossible now that they're starting to get their act together and put God first place. And in fact, their legacy, they're offering to Prabhupada with 650 temples in the present day, bears witness that Prabhupada's vision was more valid than the vision of the circumstances at the time. Prabhupada was saying to them, you were born not just to hang around the Lower East Side and smoke pot, but you were born to rise higher. You were born to make a mark in your generation. You were born to live a life of not just getting by, but a life of victory. Prabhupada said to them, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is your anthem. Rise up and say, with me, 2017 is going to be my year. I'm stepping into a new season. I'm putting on a new attitude. I'm enlarging my vision. I'm going to go into this year with a new fire. Krishna's favor is based on two things. It's based on obedience, and it's based on timing. When it's your season, you can't sit back. You have to recognize when the favorable, auspicious winds are blowing in your direction and step into that. I heard about the baby locust. The baby locust's wings are originally very, very small in proportion to its body. It can't fly with these tiny wings. The locust bides its time, grows, it matures, it strengthens its muscles. One day it hears the treetops rustling, the leaves clacking against each other. Something inside that grasshopper says, now is my time to jump. It takes advantage of that timing, which is critical, and it takes off. It can jump 200 times its bodily length. The point is that it was sensitive and it recognized when its time had come. Some people, they can't recognize when the wind of favor comes into their lives. They're too conditioned to thinking, I've been down for so many years now. I've been struggling for such a long time. I don't think I can get off the ground. I don't have the wingspan. I don't have the talent. I've made too many mistakes. These people don't realize that if they would jump at the right time and catch those winds, they would go higher and further and more easily than they ever thought possible. How? Not by their power, but by the breath, the winds of favor blown by the Almighty Lord. That's what we're here for. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're tuning ourselves in to recognize when Krishna's breathing in our direction. Feel the wind beneath our wings. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, like I said, it's been around for 50 years. The first Indian-based temples in America were ISKCON temples. The ISKCON temples existed long before any Hindu temples. But ISKCON as a whole didn't jump into the breeze of taking advantage of being the first ones to arrive. And many of the ISKCON temples today are the same temples they had in 1970 and 1980. Whereas gradually in city after city after city, the Hindu community got the idea, why don't we gather funds and why don't we build temples? There are 500 non-ISKCON temples in North America and Canada. The Hindu Society of Cincinnati, the Hindu Society of Winnipeg, the Hindu Society of Tampa Bay. None of them have a coherent philosophy and none of them are affiliated. But we, when we came to Utah, we didn't want to miss the winds. We were here in Utah before anyone else, and we were determined not to let our time pass us by. We took advantage of being the early comers. In 1992, we announced that we want to build the first Krishna conscious Hindu temple in Utah. We enlisted the help of Neela Seshachari, who's a professor at Weber State University. She wrote a book, The History of Hindus in Utah. She traced that the first people from India to arrive in Utah arrived in Cache Valley up near Logan in 1896. They were farmers from the Punjab. At that time, people of dark skin could not marry people of light skin. And there were no Indian brides for them, so they married Mexicans. Now their great-grandsons and great-granddaughters are doctors and lawyers, all graduates of the University of Utah. So the Hindu community had had a presence in Utah for over 100 years. We sensed that the time was right. We sensed that if we procrastinated or delayed, it wouldn't be that long before the Hindu community got their own idea to build a temple, and then all those resources would be diverted and no longer available to us. In other words, we caught those thermal winds. We identified and branded ourselves as the ones who are going to start the first Hindu temple in North America. And in fact, in 2001, this temple opened. There were 5,000 people present. Orrin Hatch flew in from Washington, D.C. Gary Herbert, who was at that time Utah County Commissioner, came, and he was one of our keynote speakers. 2 years later, the first Hindu temple opened in South Jordan. We wish them well. We're happy that there's two and not just one. But we do recognize that if we hadn't caught our breeze in 1992, 1993, we would actually not have been able to build this temple here in Spanish Fork, Utah. What in your life do you need to take advantage of? Maybe instead of focusing on what you don't have, it's time to focus on what Krishna has. Krishna is a name for God. He's all-powerful, he controls the universe, and he can open doors that no man can shut. He can make easy things difficult if you're not putting him first place. If you're putting him first place, he can make difficult things like opening a Krishna-conscious temple in an area that's 90% Mormon. He can make those easy if he's breathing in your direction. Our encouragement is don't miss your season. Don't go into another year expecting more of the same. Don't waste another year feeling sorry for yourself, stuck in a rut, when you know, like that grasshopper, you really should be stretching your faith. Pitch your tent in the land of hope in 2017. Move out of the nothing good ever happens to me subdivision. Move out of these are my limitsville. Pack up and move to the land of more than enough. Move to the land of far beyond favor. Move to the land of with Krishna or God, all things are possible. Envision that what's in front of you is much greater than what's behind you. Your victories of the past are going to pale in comparison to the victories that Krishna has lined up in your future. Krishna is saying to you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think that you're good. You think that you're blessed. You may have a good job. You may have a great family. But I still have mind-boggling things in your future if you'll trust me and put me first place. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this time tomorrow, you could be out of that debt that's been bothering you. By this time tomorrow, that child that's been off course could come back home. By this time tomorrow, you could meet that boy or girl of your dreams. Krishna has blessings with your name on them. The question is, are you ready to receive them? Are you living in expectation of God's favor? Do you believe that 2017 is going to be your year? If we keep Krishna first place, his blessings will chase us down and overtake us. We should not be surprised at what God the Almighty has in store for us. In the Ramayana, the great epic of India, Vibhishan, the brother of the evil tyrant Ravana, he recognized that due to Ravana's lustiness and greediness, and especially due to Ravana's attachment to another man's wife, the winds were blowing against Ravana. Vibhishan himself was not surprised that Ravana was brought down into the dust by Ram's arrows. He knew that if Krishna wants to save you, nobody can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, then nobody can save you. Ravana wanted to kill his brother Vibhishan, but because Krishna's protection was on Vibhishan, Ravana couldn't lay a finger on Vibhishan. Krishna wanted to kill Ravana, and even though he had a vast, sophisticated army defending him, in the end, Krishna took Ravana, or Rama took Ravana, down into the dust. It's surprising how strong you can be when God's favor is blowing in your direction. As powerful as Ravana was, because the breath of God's favor was blowing against him, all of his power, all of his troops, all of his wealth counted for nothing in the end. And Vibhishan, who had nothing basically, who was dispossessed, kicked out of the kingdom, living in exile, he was installed as the king of Sri Lanka for no other reason than that he was faithful to Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can imagine the surprise of Vibhishan. One minute, Ravana is kicking him out of the kingdom. Ravana is saying, "You Judas Iscariot, traitor, you don't get a penny of your inheritance. I never want you to darken my door again. Make yourself scarce." And the next minute, it is Vibhishan himself who is installed as the king of Lanka while his brother is lying in the dust. Imagine Vibhishan's surprise. He had no idea of the favor that was stored up. And all he did to earn it was he placed his trust not in his brother Ravana, but in his Lord Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what do we learn from this? If we stay faithful to the Lord by honoring Him and chant His holy names, don't rule out surprises in your life. One good break, one phone call, one meeting the right person, everything can change on a dime. I don't know about you, but I feel an excitement in my spirit. I feel that things are lined up in 2017, which we could never imagine. Prabhupada says here, "One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness activities requires both patience and confidence." What does it mean by confidence? "The devotee thinks Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service." That's confidence. Confidence means you're planning ordinary, Krishna is planning extraordinary. Some of you might be thinking, "Just hope I survive in 2017. No, you're meant to thrive in 2017. Get your hopes up. Be a person after Krishna's own heart. It is said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Surely means confidence. Krishna further encourages in the Bhagavad Gita, quote, "If you become conscious of me, you will overcome all the obstacles of conditioned life." Because of Arjuna's confidence in Krishna, even though he faced a superior army, even though he was numerically outnumbered, even though opponents like Bhishma, Dronacharya, Karna, and Ashwatthama could have beaten him on a given day, he had confidence in Krishna, his chariot driver. That confidence yielded him a victory in the fight. Get your hopes up. Someone once defined hope as the ability to hear the music of the future, and faith is the ability to dance to it today. You cannot have faith without hope. The day that you quit being excited about your future is the day that you quit living. Too many people today are breathing, they're existing, they're going through the motions, but they're not really alive. They're not really living. I heard a joke about someone who died at 45, but they buried him at 70. How many people fit that profile? What happened? They quit dreaming. They quit expecting. We're here to stir up some hope in you, to bring some of you back to life. Believe me, you wouldn't have got up this morning if Krishna didn't have another victory in your future, if Krishna didn't have a fantastic plan for you to fulfill. Granted, people may have pushed you down. Critics may have tried to talk you out of it. But the good news is, it's still alive. It's still an ember burning there. I heard about two brothers, Albert and Albrecht Dürer. Both of them were talented, But they only had the resources that if one brother worked and earned money, it could send the other brother to art school. They wouldn't both be able to go. So they drew straws. One brother got the short straw. He worked in the only field where work was available in those days, in the coal mines. The one brother went into the coal mines and his earnings went for his other brother to go to the Nuremberg School of Art. When the one brother graduated from the School of Art after 4 years, he said, "Now I can earn money from my art and you can go to school." But the brother who worked in the mines said, "Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. The bones in every finger have been smashed at least once. And lately I've been suffering from arthritis so badly in my right hand that I cannot even hold a glass to toast your graduation, much less hold delicate paintbrushes and make subtle lines. No, brother, for me it is too late." The most famous painting of Albert Dürer was an homage to his brother. It's called Hands. One of the most famous paintings in all of Western art. Am I right, my Bobby? Our resident artist. Some of you may think it's over. Maybe your hands are smashed, or your mind or your spirit's taken some reversals. I'm here to tell you it's not over until God says it's over. Your season is coming. You have to do your part. Not wait for your ship to come in, not wait for manna to fall in your lap, not put your hopes on the sweet by and by. You have to release your hopes for this year, 2017. You can't make it happen. You don't have the connections. You don't have the power. You don't have the resources. But when you believe, that activates Krishna's supernatural power. That child you've been praying about, it's not going to take another 20 years. They're going to turn around and make the right choices this year. That business that you always wanted to start, it's not going to happen 10 years, 20 years down the road. It's going to happen this year. That career that you've been stuck in, you're going to get the promotion this year. You're going to go from maintenance to management in 2017. That addiction that you've been struggling with since high school, 2017 is the year that you're going to get clean and sober. That temple that you wanted to start, this is the year that you're going to start the temple. Now let's thank the Lord right now that this year I'm going to accomplish my dreams. I'm going to meet the person that I'm going to spend my life with. I'm going to turn my health around. I'm going to kick that addictive habit. The greatest lie which is facing you is that which is in front of you is permanent. The greatest lie is that things the way they are now are never going to change. I'm too old. It's too late. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never meet the person of my dreams. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Don't believe those thoughts. Because it hasn't happened in the past doesn't mean that God's not on the throne, that it's not still stored up for you. 500 years ago, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this wonderful movement, which is meant to purify the entire three worlds, and he took to the streets with his followers, drums and cymbals, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Navadvip, West Bengal, there they were starting to get some traction. Hundreds and hundreds of people were coming out. But just at the critical moment when it seemed like the Sankirtan movement was going to take off, the Qazi, the local Muslim magistrate who had been complained to by the caste Brahmins, came out in public and he smashed the Madunga drum, which in those days were made out of clay. And he said, "I prohibit the public chanting of Hare Krishna. Anybody who chants in public from now on, I don't want to tell them what's going to happen to them." So it looked like that was all she wrote. It looked like the Sankirtan movement was getting nipped in the bud before it actually even started. They took the news to Lord Chaitanya. They said, "Lord Chaitanya, we can't do Sankirtan anymore." Lord Chaitanya says, "Why?" "The Qazi prohibited." And Lord Chaitanya said, "We'll see about that." He called for every able-bodied man, woman, and child to assemble that very evening in Navadvip. 100,000 people gathered with 100 drums, 200 pairs of cymbals. And it was after dark, so they had torches. And they chanted throughout the city of Navadvip. When they started in the direction of the Qazi's house, all of his retinue, all of his bodyguards, all of the policemen were so scared, they ran for the hills. The Qazi was totally abandoned. He went upstairs and hid underneath the bed. But what do we learn from this? It's not over until God says it's over. What critics thought was the end was actually the beginning of Sankirtan. And as a result of the discussion that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had at that time, calling the Qazi down into the street, the Qazi said, neither I nor any of my descendants will ever lift a finger to stop the Sankirtan movement. Even today, 500 years later, the great-great-great-great-grandsons of the Qazi are Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. Similar story in Melbourne, Australia. My wife and I joined the Hare Krishna movement in Australia. And we started in Sydney and we went to Melbourne to establish a foothold. We were chanting in the streets, distributing books. The City Council of Melbourne passed a law that no exchange of money could take place on a sidewalk in Melbourne. And of course, every time we gave out a book, we asked people to give a donation. So we were in violation of the law. There was one particular enforcer there, we called him Square Jaw. He would write citations for the devotees. Anytime there was an exchange of money, he'd get their name, he'd write him a citation. I personally had over 67 citations. I think altogether like 1,000 citations. And every once in a while, they would come by in the Black Mariah and scoop us up, put us in the paddy wagon and take us to jail for a couple of hours before they let us out. It looked dark. Prabhupada came to Melbourne at that time. He was on a nationally televised TV show. The moderator said, Swamiji, it seems like whenever your followers come out in public, they're harassed. What are you going to do? It looked like that was all she wrote. It looked like it was impossible to spread Krishna consciousness in Melbourne. Prabhupada's answer was, if they don't want us in Melbourne, we'll go somewhere else. It's no skin off our nose. We can preach here, we can preach there. We can preach in jail, we can preach in the streets, we can preach in the temple. He didn't really, really care. Recently, Melbourne celebrated its 200th centennial since the founding. They had a huge gala celebration downtown Melbourne with a huge stage of the performing arts and different cultural representations. The featured presenters were 200 Hare Krishnas chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From trying to shut down the Sankirtan movement totally, it evolved to the point where the city itself asked the devotees to do massive Sankirtan as part of its 200 centennial celebrations. The same city council which had earlier tried to bring the Sankirtan movement to a stop. I can't wait to see what God can do. Too many of us say, God, you show me and then I'll believe. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. God's economy says that you need to believe first, then God will show you. Too many people say, well, God, you make your move, and then I'll make my move. It's not how it works. It's like chess. You make your move, and the other person makes their move. First, you have to believe it. First, you have to strengthen your faith. When you come to the temple on a Sunday or other times to eat the sanctified food, or to associate with the devotees, you're like going to the gym, strengthening your face. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You're learning to trust in God for big things. You're learning to get your hopes up. You're starting in advance, celebrating what Krishna is going to do in your life. My encouragement is start acting like 2017 is your year. Start walking like this is your year. Start thinking like it's your year. Start believing it's your year. Stop making excuses. Be a believer and not a doubter. Get up every morning and announce it by faith. Hare Krishna, Lord, I want to thank you that this is my year. Lord, I want to thank you that in this year you're going to surprise me. I want to thank you that in 2017 I'm going to see promises come to pass. I want to thank you that things are shifting in my favor. If you'll activate Krishna's power in this way, I believe that you'll have a year of abundance, a year of joy, a year of health, a year of great finances, I believe that 2017 will be the prelude to an above and beyond future, an exceptional life this time around, and in the next life, you can go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna
Krishna.
Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama.
Hare Hare.